You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor's going to distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Believers, it's that time again. I hope you like snakes, because we're going to be talking about reptiles, so stick around and come right back.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin. Get
you back in the house. My God. There we go.
Whoa, that thing is super short now.
Yeah, right? This is the kind of energy we need to start with.
Remember when the intro was like a minute 30?
I miss those days. I've been going back to old after shows.
Go watch old AfterBuzz and see the 1 minute 30 intro.
There we go.
Let's just enjoy this before we head to Vogue.
There we go.
Oh my God.
RuPaul is actually a really good singer.
Yes! Yeah.
Guys.
Queen.
It's about that time again. It's time for the Lucha Underground After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV. As you can see, it's a party, because guess who's back?
Guess who's back in the house?
Oh, now it makes sense.
Call me mother.
She's back.
Hi, mommy's home.
My name is Ty Matthews. You guys can find me on all forms of social media at Ty Matthews PMA. But more importantly than that, to my left, making her triumphant return to the panel, you can find her online at Rachel Sam Evans, or Rachel Sam Evans, depends on how your brain works or how my brain works. Yeah. Guys, this is Rachel Evans.
I'm so happy to be back. I missed you guys. I missed you guys so much.
It's been so long.
I was around
so much has happened.
So much has happened. I've been around so many normies, and I'm ready to talk about wrestling.
There you go. To Rachel's left, been here since day one, member of the OG crew. Mm-hmm. You can find him online at Jimbo in the booth, but right now he's not in the booth, he's at the table. Guys, it's James Frank.
I got a snag.
It's a
slippery snag. And also, we talked about it a couple weeks ago, thanks to Rachel, that's why this happened, but I hosted a panel at San Diego Comic-Con for Gamma Ray TV with Taya and Chavo Guerrero and Marty the Moth Martinez and PJ Black. I just realized that you can find that panel online on Lucha Underground's YouTube channel.
I was about to say they're about to post it. I don't know when they are, but I sent them the footage.
It is posted.
So I'm so happy. That makes me very happy.
It's very, very exciting. It was a super, super fun panel. I did not find, however, I was hoping to find our Mario Kart session.
That was awesome, too.
Oh, I can give you that footage if you want it. I can give you that footage. It was
We also had a special segment where Daniel Radford hosted while myself and Taya and Marty the Moth tried to figure out how to play Mario Kart on Switch.
It was unbelievable. I was like, oh, we'll just do the easiest thing. Like, because we went through all these games that we could do, and I was like, you know, Mario Kart. Everyone knows Mario Kart.
If it had been
on
on any other system, I think we would have had a much easier time.
It was on the tiny ones.
Exactly. It was on the little Joy-Cons. Yeah.
You should have seen Rooker try to play it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, Michael Rooker tried to play it. It was awful.
He had broken his arm, hadn't he?
He got surgery in his arm, broke his leg.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, he loves to jump off things. It's his favorite thing to do.
I love Michael Rooker.
Oh, my God.
What you doing there, boy?
Too real.
Guys, let's talk Lucha Underground.
Please.
We're talking, I believe this is episode 8. I didn't check. I didn't do my math. I say this every week.
8?
They all blur.
I think
together.
So. I'm pretty sure. It's definitely, it's, yeah.
I think it might be 6.
No, it's definitely
no,
not
it's
6.
It's past 6 for sure.
Yeah, you've been gone
for a while.
Oh,
you've
been gone so
a
minute. Happy to be back.
The ranks of the reptiles. Speaking of the reptiles, let's talk the reptile tribe, Daga, taking on the Worldwide Underground's PJ Black.
Yeah, New Gear Daga.
New Gear Daga.
New Gear Daga. I love a.
New look new back. Me.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. New year, new dog.
New year, new dog. It's the year of the dog, but D-A-J.
He was,
D-A-G.
He was missing snakeskin boots.
Yeah, he those boots. Killer boots, man.
So good. I just realized you saying that this was the first match that it was bookended with.
Mm-hmm.
With
the Reptiles versus the Worldwide Underground.
The Reptiles war with the Worldwide Underground has kind of been the one consistent through line since episode one, since Aztec Warfare.
Aztec Warfare. Which we also saw the winner. Oh, no, wait. I'm thinking of the Gift of the Gods. My bad.
There you go.
I was thinking of Dragon Azteca and the Gift of the Gods. Pardon me.
We'll talk about this later, but I just love what he did this episode.
Dragon Azteca? We'll get to that for sure. What did you guys think of this match?
It was fine. Pacing was slow. I think that they're both. I like that they were doing more grappling though.
Sure.
I appreciate that because we see a lot of like lucha style wrestling, obviously in Lucha Underground.
Makes sense.
But I like the grapples. I appreciate that. And when they got down on the mat, the pacing was better when it was just like move after move. But for some reason, it felt weird at the start.
It was a little bit.
If it was cut up.
That could be.
Yeah.
Like for
that
time.
Makes sense.
I know
TV time
Lucha Underground, they don't do it as much as like WSX did back in the day.
God.
WSX.
WSX.
They put a scrolling disclaimer.
Ticker. Oh, that's
because
right.
Because they didn't have time to put a disclaimer at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So they just scroll it.
There were cool moments for that show. But. But yeah, and I did like at least that Matt Stryker kind of called attention to that fact that it's, you know, two guys that are kind of primarily known for being a little bit more high-flying, but taking it, you know, take it to the bridge.
Yeah, take it to the bridge. I wonder why that is. I wonder why they did that. Like, I don't know. It felt like an instruction. Like, it didn't feel... I don't know.
Interesting.
Felt like somebody was like, hey, take this one easy, guys.
Right. Which could, I mean, that could be
taking it easy is striking and kicking the crap out of each other with elbows and kicks.
They were making the piss out of each other.
Obviously,
still.
They're still great, and it was still a great match,
sure.
Obviously.
Take it easy, put him in the pendulum, and just swing him so his head hits the turnbuckle.
Pendulum is such a ridiculous move.
That move, that's so classic. It's SmackDown versus Raw.
Yeah, it is.
Like, create a wrestler. Oh, pick this move, and then you can only do it in the corner.
Or that's
sucks.
Like, do you remember the game where you could create your own finisher and just creating a finisher that was like 12 animations long mess with your opponent.
It's basically
10 uppercuts to the balls and then like a power bomb.
I never had the patience to do my
Shinsuke
own sequence.
Nakamura's stuff.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
it's well, that's
good.
That's what I liked about like just going in and just doing it really quick. Just like, all right, 10 punches to the dick and then maybe a neck breaker.
There was a sequence in this match where it was at least 6 pins.
Yeah.
It was like pin.
I love stuff like
roll
that.
Over,
yeah, me
crucifix,
too. I
roll
like that
into
too.
Another thing, roll into another thing.
Mm-hmm.
That like was that really too. Cool. And then rolls him into this weird submission that's like a crucifix arm lock type thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think you mentioned it while we were watching. Like, the Anaconda Vice is a layup.
Yeah.
If you're part of the. Oh, I just got a lot, honey.
Oh, I know me too.
if you're part of the reptile tribe, you know?
Yeah.
But. It looked like there was a little bit, kind of elements of that move here, but along with that grounded crucifix. But Daga gets the win, more for bragging rights than anything else. Nothing's really on the line.
No.
At one point during this match, PJ Black misses a moonsault.
Mm-hmm.
And they get a close-up.
For some reason,
let's talk about the moonsault.
Well, okay, so first, before we get to that, okay, yeah, we're going to get to that. But the camera angle of that was such that it didn't, I know he did move. I know Daga did move.
Yeah.
It looked like he didn't.
It looked like PJ overshot.
It looked like it was just magic.
It looked like he just jumped into the middle of the
ring.
But it looked intentional because it was so off.
Like he was being called to the Aztec crest in the middle of the ring.
Exactly.
Like mid-air.
But let's talk about the reaction shot to that move.
Oh, let's cut to the one man in the crowd with an eye patch. That looks like
he just looks like an off-duty villain. I love. But he
just
also had a big bald head.
Right.
He had a scar on his face.
He had a unique look, is what we're saying.
I love you. If you are watching this, get at me.
My thing is that he looked like the deacon from Waterworld.
Oh my
absolutely.
God.
That's my whole thing. Yeah.
So I maintain off-duty villain.
Right. I'm just trying to say we're not trying to say anything about people with eye patches.
Oh my God. I just went on a date with a guy with an eye patch last Thursday. Thursday.
He just looked like Dennis Hopper from Waterworld. That's
I'm
all.
I'm partial to eye patches.
Right, right, right. Absolutely.
I am. They're great.
They're great.
I want to hear more about this guy.
It was leather. Ooh. Amazing. And it had no strap. It just was on his face.
Whoa.
It was incredible.
It's like Robin's mask and Batman.
Or like Morpheus's glasses.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How do they stay?
Right?
I don't know. Anyway. Tom Moon cuts one of the best promos ever. After this
We haven't heard her speak on the mic very much.
No,
not thus far. Live,
right.
Maybe in backstage.
In vignettes, yeah.
But not live. Which and was
not
a
for
great,
not that amount of time.
Which was a great promo after there's a whole battle with kendo sticks and the snake tribe.
Oh, man. So much happening.
Other,
yeah.
Which is where we see Vibora take this nasty spill out of the ring.
Oh, boy.
Wait, but before that, there's the five-man tower. Which was pretty nice.
You like?
Well, no, that was in the
Trios
match.
Oh wow!
We'll get to that.
That was in the
whoa.
Rabbits.
We'll get to that.
You're right. Yeah, you're right. I was like, I just saw a bunch of people. Yeah.
We'll tend to the rabbits, Rachel. We'll tend to.
Sorry,
the rabbits.
My brain doesn't work linear timeline.
So in this kind of post match fracas, I guess you could call it, we find out that next week.
Can you describe the fracas?
A fracas. That's good. Next week we're gonna get. An eight-man... Oh, I wish we had Teddy's music queued up. We're going to have an eight-man tag team match, player. All four of the Worldwide Underground taking on the Reptile Tribe. Although... That may change by the end of this episode. We will get to that. A lot to talk about in this episode, y'all.
Oh, man.
Vibora took a nasty spill on the apron.
Mm-hmm.
It hurt his... Well, that's...
So, whatever. Basically... it looked like he reverse-skinned the cat.
Yeah, a little bit. Like,
he's
little bit.
Holding the top rope. He gets... Double clothesline.
Almost like kind of how like Farouk used to get out of the ring.
Which is crazy.
You know? Yeah.
Oh.
That is kind of a reverse skin the cat.
Yeah. And then he's standing
there.
He
put the skin back on the cat.
He unflayed the cat.
Unflayed the cat.
It was an unflay. Yeah, classic unflay.
He's just standing there for this whole promo with his arm just in pain.
I know, but he was fine and he didn't put it up or anything. He was just like.
He just held there.
I'm strong.
He's a tough boy.
Strong like bull. Or like a lizard.
Or like a lizard. He can just grow another one.
Strong like lizard.
Oh, man.
Exactly.
I know my lizard strong didn't feed him for 3 days. Came back and he was like, I'm okay. He's strong.
You didn't have anyone checking in on him or anything?
Well, you know. He's okay.
Well, all right. Now, we'll get to the rest of the show in a minute. But after Buzzers, this network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows. And that's everything from drama to reality TV to sci-fi and more. There's absolutely no network that works harder to serve TV fans. But we need your help. See, we're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. Now, by subscribing to our channel, YouTube is going to suggest content that's tailor-made for you. And by doing that, you're going to help AfterBuzz continue to grow just like we've been doing. And hey, if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't be, because those bad boys are optional. Just click those right off. It's 2018 technology, guys. So go ahead and hit that subscribe button right now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels while you're at it. Let us know you did so in the comments. We'll thank you on air. I swear I will start remembering to do that soon. Mark was here and he was helping me out with that, but now I've left on my own devices and I can't quite remember to see if you guys have done that. But please do. Even if we don't, we thank you and we love you. But for now, thank you so much for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
What's the ESPN thing? Be-nee-nee-nee-nee. You know the ESPN
that's
thing?
Sports.
Are you talking about SportsCenter?
Is that on
na,
ESPN?
Da-na-na.
Yeah! I want to start drawing on stuff.
After Buzz. After Buzz.
And then here's where
like the John Madden Illustrator.
Yeah.
Boom!
Yeah.
So is it Willie and Katrina? Is that what's next? Okay, let's talk the Mac and Katrina.
I love...
Well, we learned a lot.
They need to put a bell on you, girl.
Yeah, I know. Just saying what we're all thinking. Like, well, where'd you come from?
Just pure unadulterated Mac. Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Total Willy right there.
I'll drop his ass without a second thought. Ooh. Hold up.
Hold up.
I love that story. It's my favorite Willy Mac story.
Y'all remember Nick Arcade?
Nobody knows what we're talking about.
I feel like we've talked about it before. Oh, all you need to know is that Willie Mac loves 90s TV.
Yeah.
Like, loves it. He's got a pretty amazing t-shirt design in his store that says, what is it? The Secret World of Willie Mack. I'm pretty sure. It's pretty awesome. Yeah.
Well, basically, we learned that Willie Mack's cousin.
Yes. Oh, man. Let's talk about this because I've been revisiting the Lucha Underground comic books the last couple weeks.
Oh, dope.
And that's where Big Rick, unfortunately, bit the big one, was in a one-off comic book. He was killed by the Disciples of Death. And then the skull was used in Mil Muertes' throne back in, was that season 2?
Yeah.
So we haven't really heard about Big Rick since then, but we see his skull just hanging out in the Max locker.
Well, he's another patch boy.
Yeah.
He's another patch boy. A lot of patch action. A lot of patch action.
A lot of patch action.
You know.
Love that. Yeah, well, that was really silly and funny.
It was, yeah.
I do love the way she, like, bully opened the locker.
Just kind of, like, hit it.
She Fonzie'd the shit out of it.
That was a Fonzie move, wasn't it? I was about to say AC Slater, but it was much more the Fonz.
Yeah. It was much cooler than that.
It was so...
Yes, indeed.
Ooh. It was so... That skull, like, she hits it. I'm expecting, like, oh, it's gonna look... badass.
That skull was pristine.
That skull looked like something from Are You Afraid of the Dark?
It was straight up like they bought it at Party City like last week.
It had the cigar in the mouth.
There was like red smoke coming out of it. Like, okay.
I submit this for the approval of the Midnight Society. Just like
dump it in tea or something. Like age it a little bit, you know?
Spill that tea.
Spill the tea on the skull. Right on the skull.
Poltergeist style, go get a real one.
Yeah, exactly.
It also had something in its mouth.
A cigar.
It was a cigar. Okay. I thought it was like a...
Big Rick's thing.
I thought it was TNT. But it was because of the red star.
The red was like, it was dynamite. Yeah.
I was like, that's God, weird.
And it was going to blow up and Mac was just going to, his face was just covered in soot.
It turns into a Wile E. Coyote bong. Like an Acme joke.
Acme sticking dynamite.
Well, yeah. He just like
holds up a sign that says help before it explodes.
It's just... You know, I'm happy. I'm not happy. Why would I say I'm happy he's dead? I'm not happy he's dead.
No.
I'm not happy he's dead.
RIP to Big Rick. It's been a few seasons.
It
but
seems like an interesting...
Still miss you.
It's like, where? What now?
Right.
What now?
Right.
He gets vengeance for his cousin's
death. And I think, actually...
Maybe he starts carrying that skull to the ring.
Cool. Talking to like it. Hamlet?
Yeah.
Now that you mention... That's funny. Now that you mention that, like... Did the Mac hasn't even really mentioned Big Rick this entire time.
It's a weird
time.
Way to bring him back.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, he didn't know that Big Rick was dead until this moment.
Yeah. But now it's like, well, okay, shit, okay.
Right,
like,
exactly.
What now?
Right.
I guess I'll just continue doing what I was doing and beating people up.
Yeah, you know.
Unless he's going to kill someone.
But Killshot was also part of that group,
so,
right?
So, I was just going to say, they're definitely dissension between Killshot and Willie.
Yes.
Well, sure. We saw that in the match, too.
What if Katrina frames Killshot for killing Rick?
Well, she said that it was Mill.
Yeah, I think they were claiming... Even
she's
though
like, she over Mill, she's like moved
even
on
though
from
once,
him.
Once again, technically...
She's done with him.
No, I don't think so. I don't
no,
think
she
so.
She was like trying to intimidate Willie and be like, Mill is very strong.
Yeah. And he's a strong boy.
He's a strong boy. Murdered your
he
family.
He almost murdered Willie with that powerbomb last week.
Oofa doofa.
Oofa doofa.
That was nuts.
Oofy doofies.
Yeah, that was gross.
Yeah, so I guess that's it.
So I think Katrina is perfectly content to claim that murder.
Sure.
I think they're basically telling the Mac that he is marked because he cost Mill his shot at the Gift of the Gods title.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
I don't know. I'm not... I need more from this storyline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Like, Mill wants to hurt everybody.
Right. And I think for Katrina being involved, and for this new version of Katrina that's kind of, like, newly enlivened.
Yes.
Like, I think there needs to be a little bit more.
I'm not going to say that. But I think she's, like, she is a direct response to the way the world is changing. And she's much bolder now, and she's much more of, like, a bossy business lady as opposed to, like...
Interesting.
...what she was before, which is like, ooh, I'm a licky lady.
I don't think that much has changed in that department, though.
To me, it has. And the way I intake it, it has.
Because I feel like she's always been basically in charge of Mill.
No, she's been in charge, but it's just the way she presents herself is just different.
She's not as seductive anymore.
Mm. Hi. Yeah, no, I mean, I just appreciate what she's doing this season.
Mm.
But I don't understand the storyline. I don't understand the point.
Do you think she can still go into the spirit world? We're in the spirit world.
I don't think so. I think, because I think the, obviously the main thing that changed is that she's basically alive. Like she's alive now. Yeah. She took Phoenix's life force, whatever that means. But I think it's going to be kind of a monkey's paw scenario where she has this life force, but she doesn't have access to the powers that she used to.
Yeah.
And so while I understand the story and where it's going, I feel like it's too simple for Lucha Underground.
It
needs a little bit more of that camp.
So there's no like we saw at the end of this episode. Her communicating with Rick is what I was getting at.
Oh boy.
Like maybe that's why they brought Rick back up and now she's gonna tell Willie, Rick says this, you need to do this.
Maybe
he's
Rick
talking
is
to me beyond the grave kind of thing.
Maybe Rick comes back, he's the only one who can defeat Mill because he's also kinda dead.
Maybe.
Trying to figure out a point.
Yeah. I mean, the point is simple. With
Lucha, it could be in four seasons from now.
Yeah, that's true.
If you're talking about the point is Willie cost Mill the title, and now he's pissed, and he's going to beat him up.
It's just so that's simple. The point. You're right. Yeah. It's just so simple that I'm like, that can't be it.
Yeah, exactly.
Layers.
But maybe it is.
Layers. This is underground.
Yeah, we need more ghosts, is what we're saying.
We did see an Indiana Jones vignette at the end. Maybe it is that simple.
We need to dust off. We need to dust off Jeremiah Crane's Ouija board.
Oh my god!
Then we can talk to Big Rick.
We need to dust off Jeremiah Crane.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh man. So as Tekka cuts this promo in the ring about how he's the Gift of the Gods champ,
so good.
Yeah, he's gonna defend it. He's going to be the next Lucha Underground champ.
Right. And I know this isn't a hot take, and I know that we've talked about this on the show before, but one of my favorite things about Lucha, and I feel like you guys feel the same, is that they're not afraid to, like, let people cut promos in their native languages, you know?
Yes.
Like, even if people don't know exactly what they're saying, there's enough there and enough conveyed that people get it.
It's like Eddie Izzard. I am a donut.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, seriously.
But if you say it with such
conviction. Like,
well, I think they understand conviction, and if you can't, like, that's universal, but also, like, if you can't convey conviction because it's your second language and you're not able to express yourself the way that you want to, it's not going to be as effective. So
exactly,
it just makes sense.
Right. Because I feel like, and not to get on too much of a tangent, but I feel like guys like Shinsuke Nakamura and people like Asuka, they would be far more kind of impactful characters if they were allowed to cut promos in Japanese.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And that just, have you seen this Suzuki promo?
No, I
haven't.
Where
he's backstage and he like almost makes a cameraman shit himself.
Oh, I gotta see that.
Dude, I'll tweet it to you.
I gotta see that. Suzuki's a badass.
I would have died.
So we get this promo. It's about half in English, half in Spanish. Just kind of, Dragon Azteca is hellbent on defending that title and he's gonna cash it in the main event of Ultima Lucha.
I love a pure promo.
But
he has to defend it.
Every week up until
every
then.
Week until then, therein
that's a,
lies
that's
the
a
rub.
Lot riding on the line.
There. I don't think.
You don't think he's going to hold on to it?
No.
I don't think so either. It's such a long way to go. I feel like he might get close.
He's also not going to have a hero's journey. It's better for him if he doesn't, if he loses it. It's better for him.
It's always a more effective story for a pure babyface to chase a title than it is for him to defend it.
Yeah. Come out in jeans and a hoodie. Like, I see you pulling at my heartstrings with your little mask. I see you.
And part of the Eagle Tribe. That's another thing that I've liked about this season is there's been more attention paid to the actual seven Aztec tribes and what they are and what they represent.
Kind of what we were promised last season.
Is that? Oh, yeah, a little bit.
Well, because the whole promo for last season, the whole trailer for last season was all about the tribes.
Right.
Presenting the tribes. And then we didn't get any tribe
And then
action.
I think we got a little bit sidetracked by the gauntlet and by the councilman and by, you know,
I hope we, yeah,
that
I hope
whole
is,
kind of saga.
Yeah. I like the direction this is going in.
Yeah, definitely. So we've got Trios action.
Yeah.
Trios titles on the line. The Mac, Killshot, and Son of Havoc defending against the Rabbit Tribe.
Yay.
Those loony rabbits.
Loved it. And as you, I know you noticed, Paul London's new, Fawnir Avenirs.
I love it.
Awesome black gear that he has.
That's pretty awesome. I'm all in on Dark Paul London for sure.
Oh, yeah. He's like a spooky Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
Spooky Elvis.
Exactly. Well, it's like when Matt Stryker asked Vampiro what classic wrestler he would have reminded him of, and he said Lex Interior from the Cramps. Like,
oh, yeah.
It makes sense.
It does, but I also appreciate that that was clearly a setup for him to be like, nobody! So then he could be like, you're right, he's so unique, because then he said it anyway, and he's like, no, he gave you somebody.
No, he said somebody.
Matt Stryker does so much of, like, trying to dance around things, and well, Vamp's just like,
he tries to sort of guide Vamp in certain directions, and yeah. Vamp isn't really yes-anding with him.
Yeah. He's not much of an improviser.
Vamp's the guy that pulls the gun in improv class. Yeah.
Like this.
Yeah, exactly. Give me all your money.
Yeah. Is that a thing in improv class? That well, you're not have supposed to
hold
to
a
do?
Gun. This is how you hold a gun. But you also, hold a gun like this.
But also, just the idea, the idea of pulling
my
a gun.
My finger is now a gun.
The idea of pulling a gun in improv class has always been seen as kind of hacky because it automatically gives the person all the power.
You jump to the shark.
You just kind of castrate the other person in the scene.
He's Vamp, the great
unless
castrator.
They, unless they're like, I got a bazooka.
Yeah, exactly. And then it just becomes luck bing.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a lot of fun. I'm glad we're doing this. Yeah, no, this match was great. Mm-hmm.
This is the one with the Tower of Doom that you
this
were talking about.
This is the one
about.
With the Tower of Doom. Mm-hmm. I really love that. And I know that it's just like a gimmick. Like, I know that it's just kind of a fun thing that doesn't really mean anything. But I love it.
Yeah.
Matt Stryker called it London Falling, which was great.
That's really great. Yep,
so great. Yep.
I loved his sell after, Paul's sell afterwards, too.
Just straight up.
They just.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my favorite sell.
Right, right.
Getting super kicked and then, like, toes barely keeping him hanging
oh,
off.
Oh, God.
The
yes.
And then Killshot running.
The double
and
stomp.
The double stomp. Oh.
Followed up by another double stomp off.
Yeah, Killshot's whole double stomp flurry.
Sequence was crazy.
That was pretty awesome.
He was just murdering everyone.
I want that to be his new thing.
And I think that aspect of this story, sort of this side story with him and the Mac, is a lot more compelling with Killshot, like, basically overcompensating and going, like, look, I'm the leader of this team.
Yeah.
I get to do all the cool moves.
Yeah, which is why I think we didn't see almost any Son of Havoc in this match.
A little bit. A little bit.
Badass mushroom double stomp where he stomps one guy and then stomps
I think
the
I
other
missed
guy.
Yeah. When was that?
You were looking at
they're
your phone.
Both in the, when they're
was
both
it?
In the corner.
I was really not looking at my phone.
No, yeah, you were.
You like looked at me looking at my phone? Oh, my God.
It's okay, Rachel. We forgive you.
I love doing this show with my dad. It's so fun.
I mean, heaven forbid we watch the show we're talking about.
Listen to me. I am speaking of the episode. Am I not?
She knew the name.
I gotta go. You guys are so awful.
I'm so glad you're back.
I'm so glad to be here. I love being patronized to, pardon me. Oh, I almost said the wrong one.
Right, of course.
So anyway. Willie Mack hits this crazy frog splash where he looks like he murders both his knees.
And, oh, God, yeah.
And his standing moonsault. Oof.
He did that. I wrote Willie doing Willie things, which is his
right.
whole.
Willie Mack's standing moonsault is my favorite thing in all of wrestling.
It's
I saw it for
awesome.
The first time at championship.
Why do we call it a Samoan drop? We shouldn't call it anymore.
We should call it a Willie Mack, Los Angeles downtown, specifically right. Boyle Heights, drop. That rolls
exactly.
off the tongue.
Naturally.
Killshot sneaks the tag and takes the pin from Willie.
Right.
Not from Willie,
he's
but
in charge.
Steals the pin from Willie.
Right. But yeah, to that point from Havoc, we saw a very cool suicide dive. A very fast suicide
Killshot's
dive.
Like,
yeah.
Go.
Right.
Go.
Do it.
Yeah.
Dive, man.
It's time.
Yeah.
And then Killshot at the end of the match said, I am the team.
I'm the captain now.
I am the captain. He took the belts and he threw it at him.
Mm-hmm.
It's rude.
Right.
Rude.
It's rude.
Very rude.
Do you think Willie's like, no, man, you got mine.
What are you, HR shoving stuff?
You see Mac and Son of Havoc at the end be like, oh, is this your turn?
The three, they have to spend like 10 minutes going like, wait, hang on, no. Shit.
Which match was it that was all Groucho Marxy? Was it
that was this one?
Yeah. That was this one.
Wait,
they kept,
that was...
Well, they kept on like. Why was it? What
it was
did
goofy
I say?
Goofy and funny, and you.
It
laughed.
Was very goofy and funny, and I laughed. There was a moment though where like four people. Oh, it was the Son of Havoc moment that you said I was looking at my phone for.
Mm-hmm.
It was very goofy.
Why? What was goofy?
Because people kept popping up, and then he kept putting them back down. They kept popping up again.
That wasn't the moment.
It was like, ding, 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 ding. I like it.
Is it like a whack-a-mole?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Whack-a-mole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Main event.
Main event time. We got mystery partners, y'all.
Yeah. Well,
Do well, we? I mean, a mystery partner, singular.
Mm. Cage. This graphic.
Ugh, I know. We got Cage and Pentagon Dark.
Yeah.
Picking mystery partners.
Yeah.
Cage picks King Cuerno. Mm. Pentagon says, don't need one.
No.
Well, turns out he's wrong.
We thought it was going to be Bad Guy Tito or Shaking Maracas.
Guest Maraca-ing in Metalachi.
Never explained.
I feel like that's going to come up at some point.
It was him because he smiled and we saw your tooth.
Right.
Well, we knew it was him before that.
We would know that tooth anyway.
Was confirmed. Well, your whole face was showing, so we knew it was him. Yeah, that's crazy.
So we'll see.
He wasn't in it in the main event.
No. Yeah. We'll see how that comes around if it does.
And they're like, man, you're shaking maracas. You're throwing us all off beans.
We got it. We got fired.
We gave him maracas that didn't even have beans.
He was trying for a different job, and he's like, oh, man, because I have to be a wrestler. I wanted to shake these maracas.
This was taped all the way before when he had dreams of being in Metalachi.
He was 14.
Just a giant.
Oh, man. Never had a tooth.
No, you know, it's never there.
So it's going to be two.
So it's basically as a handicap match, Cage and King Cuerno with his, man, I missed that deer head.
Oh,
that was so cool. Dope. That was very cool.
I was talking to Rachel. If this was your gimmick everywhere you went and you had to travel with that, how awful would that be?
Right.
Because it didn't look comfortable when he was walking
and
to
that's
the ring with
take
it
up,
on.
That's going
to
take up a lot of luggage space, too.
Also, again, we'll get to this, but I also love the end where he's like, all right. And he like took his head and he's like,
that's my job. Like,
you're no longer needed here. Thank you very much.
Very weird.
Take my head
hits
go
him,
home.
Hits him with the thrill of the kill, opens it up for Cage to hit him with the Steiner screwdriver.
Yeah.
He can get up from this one.
I want to know why... they're so cordial.
Who, Cage and Cuerno?
Yeah, Cage's character has changed a lot.
Yeah, well, I mean, and also last season, most of it, he was kind of overtaken by the power of the gauntlet.
Oh, didn't maybe he's
Cuerno
sweet
steal
now.
The gauntlet from him?
No, the gauntlet was on the line in Ultima Lucha when it was Cage, Mil Muertes, and Jeremiah Crane.
Yeah.
And then, Cuerno stole it from Mil Muertes.
Okay.
That's what
I
it was.
I just remember Cuerno stealing it.
Yeah.
Oh, so they both hate Mil Muertes.
Exactly, yeah. Because Mil won it in that match, and then when he was posing, when he was doing his little Roman Reigns pose, lights went out, Cuerno took it.
That makes more sense as to why they are so cordial to each other.
Sure. Common enemy.
Especially at the end, where they were like, all right, well, all see right, you later. Well, that's that's zero ego.
Text me when you get home.
Yeah,
tell
love
Melissa
you.
Hi.
They're going to split some bagel bites and some Modelo later.
You see Cuerno go off and be like, oh, I'm so happy for you, Mel. And walk into the back. See you later, King.
They're just buds.
They're really buds.
They're just super
It really
tight
came
buds.
Off that way. Like, I feel like if you are of a certain size, you're just friends with everybody else that size.
That's fair.
Like, big old muscle boys.
Imagine Brian Cage just braiding Cuerno's hair.
His newly long hair. Yeah, exactly.
He still has the mask on. He's just braiding.
While Cuerno's, like, stuffing an animal or something like that.
We love it.
That's very sweet. Those are the vignettes we want to see.
Oh, man. We got to get Cage on here. He's never been on, right? Except for right there.
He hung out.
Yeah, only on the couch.
Only on the couch.
And made a sneak appearance when Melissa's like, get up here.
That's right.
He wanted to talk.
People didn't believe he was here.
I know. this match was fun.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. I forgot how good Pentagon is.
Right.
I really did. I think that for a while I was like, I don't get it. I don't get why... Wait, what?
You're insane.
I didn't mean to say that. Okay, you know what I meant, though. You know what I meant.
No, I get it.
For a while, he was kicking the shit out of both of them.
Sure,
like,
it started
off, like, chop, chop, kick, kick, knocking them all over. It's like, damn, is this a handicap match
so
or, like,
quick.
A two-on-one?
So
there
quick.
Is one moment that really got my attention is, you know, he's kind of getting the upper hand. Cage launches him in the air, and then Cuerno just knees him right out of midair.
I thought they were going to do a 3D.
A 3D? Right.
What's that? Show me.
Oh, yes, we brought
that
figure.
Oh, that's right,
yeah.
So,
one guy
so hang
guy
on,
like
you
this.
Need another guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow, okay.
And then this guy would catch him in a stunner. And
oh, cool, cool,
the
cool.
Dudleys.
The Dudley Boys.
The
Yeah.
That's why it's called the 3D, the Dudley Death Drop.
Oh, that's cute. Yeah. I like them.
Yeah.
I miss
they
them.
Also do the Pentagon sign.
Oh, that's right, huh? It all comes full circle.
Weird.
All right.
Do they know that?
I mean, they don't do the this.
No, I know.
It's just
the
they
down.
They do that. It's okay.
Yeah. It's all okay.
And now John
Table
Cena
time.
Does that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I guess everybody
this
does
last
that.
Vignette.
was this so is wild.
Yeah, crazy. It really overshadowed.
We could do a whole episode on this one vignette.
I kind of want this like in a full length like feature version.
I feel like I haven't seen vignettes like this since season 2. For some reason, last season we got a lot of good stuff, but it was meaty.
But it was very serious.
Yeah,
it wasn't like, I mean, this kind of towed the line. Like, this wasn't super super campy. It wasn't like into like some Vinnie Massaro territory.
It was good.
It was really good.
And I love the Indiana Jones fanfic.
Sure.
I'm here for it. Mm-hmm. Like I loved all of it. I really liked all of
it. Right. So basically, Johnny Mundo. Taya, they track down where the kind of reptile tribe's lair is, lower themselves in. He's got
it's
a full
even more
on
underground than Lucha Underground.
Yeah.
That is a very good point. I wish that would have been one of their one liners. But they sneak in. Drago is chained up. Vibora is just hanging out by himself. No clue where Daga or Cobra Moan would have been.
Oh, they said it at the beginning. They said at the beginning. I can't remember what they said, but they said something. They sent them to look for something. They were
they went to like a snake hole or something.
Yeah.
Well, that's. I think that's why
find out
I was.
That there's no such thing as a snake.
I was trying to wrap my head around that, like snake ball. What?
Yeah. Oh, that's cute. Like they get all dressed up.
You are cordially invited to
the snake ball. That's what.
That's what? Very funny.
We need to see that.
Because he didn't mention that in the promo after the match at the beginning of the show, right?
No.
That's hilarious.
I need to see them in like a little like tails
and
stuff.
No, for sure.
Like
and it's all snake skin. Yeah, for sure.
Like a prom picture.
Yeah, okay.
That's very,
I love
very
that.
Good.
But they rope down into there. They like school gym down into there.
School
and then
gym.
They slay.
They slay queen.
They slay queen. Slayed.
Right. Oh yeah.
Vibora kicks the
shit. Super kicks Taya in the middle of the face.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Takes her down. There's a little bit of a fight sequence between Johnny and Vibora, and then a little bit, just a little
he's
bit.
He's about to choke him to death.
But then Taya with the baseball bat.
Yeah.
I think kneecaps
she
him.
She kneecaps him.
And then.
He says, you're going to kneecap him again?
Yeah.
No.
Get the big blade. Where'd you get that?
That's right. Well, that was Daga's sword.
Oh.
Yeah.
Head with.
Oh.
Yeah. That's the ceremonial beheading sword.
Oh,
that's the He-Man, I have the power sword.
It is.
Right there.
It is.
Does that mean anything?
What's
like
that?
Like, the fact that it's the ceremonial sword, does that mean anything?
I mean,
anything?
It's not like...
Like, will it mean anything, do you think? Or no? It's just
not necessarily. I think it's just a big fancy sword.
And you can see him holding his arm the entire time.
Yeah.
Well, you know. And I did like that head at the end. So she beheads him.
Right.
Off with his head.
Yeah.
And then Johnny's like, that was so hot. And I was like, yeah,
and
you're right.
And they kissed a couple times.
Did you see me when they kissed?
No.
I accidentally went, I didn't mean to. And I was like, no.
And of course, I love like the green blood, like when we see the stump of Vibora's neck.
Oh, on the camera, that's a good touch.
Yeah. Oh, that too. Yeah.
This being a backstage vignette and not a match, how different do you think it is choreographed and shot? So, like that super kick, for example,
different.
It looked amazing. Do you think they had to do that 4 times to get the right angle, or
maybe
have it
probably
just right?
Probably,
because there are moments in this fight scene that showed like Vibora's perspective of headbutting Johnny and Johnny's.
Well,
like,
and I think the choreography itself wouldn't be much different than kind of planning out a match. It's just the cinematography of it, checking out like, okay, what's the best angle for the super kick?
Doing your opening
you're
spot
able
4
to,
times.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're able to scout a shot, so you're able to say like, okay, from this angle, you can't see the space between it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
That makes a lot
of
sense. And if you're able to shoot something more than once, like, why wouldn't you?
Right. Because
this is wrestling.
Exactly. Yeah, if we were able to in wrestling, we'd be doing that all the time. Yeah,
you'd be like, one more, please.
Right.
One more.
Just one? But
one for safety?
So now, I don't know. So next week might be a handicap match. It might be all 4 of Lucha Underground versus the 3 remaining members of the Reptile Tribe.
Or who they could bring somebody
sneaky?
Else in.
Yeah.
Or they could. I don't know who else would be...
Who's the sneaky snake? Who's the sneaky snake, guys?
I don't know. Or...
Lotus Tribe.
What? Maybe.
I want them to come back. I mean, it's not going to be... It's obviously not.
No.
No. But, like, I really miss them.
Yeah, me too.
Famous B have any homies?
No.
Not that are snaky.
Yeah.
Well, not in, like, not in the canon of the show. But... Because Big Bad Steve.
Yeah.
But... I don't know, maybe, or on the other hand, maybe the Reptile Tribe will take revenge and maybe take out, even temporarily, someone from Worldwide Underground.
Santino Marella.
Maybe.
Ricky.
Maybe Santino with the Cobra.
Hmm.
So yeah, who knows?
I'm really excited for what this means. I love the storyline. Yeah. Really happy about
it. It's wacky stuff.
And
I love this aspect of the stories in the temple.
Absolutely loving Worldwide Underground's new aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about it. It's Yo MTV Raps.
Very hypercolor.
I'm here for it.
Right.
Where was Jack for all this?
He does not like snakes.
Oh, yeah.
He hates snakes.
Well, he should have been Indiana Jones.
Oh, that's true. That's a good snakes. Point. That's a good point. Historically, a snake hater.
Predictions?
Let's get into some predictions.
I thought it was ESPN.
Buzz TV predictions.
Okay.
What do you guys think?
As far as next week, what matches did they announce? They announced,
I think, just the tag match and probably a title defense for Dragon Azteca.
So is there some sort of order that they're doing this in, or is it just literally anybody?
In terms of like contendership for the Gift of the Gods title? I don't think there's any established order.
Who would make sense?
Well, I think, I don't know if they're going to do it right away, but I think Marty the Moth is going to go after that belt and Dragon Azteca on a long enough timeline. I don't know if it's going to start next week, but I think last week Stinger with just kind of Mariposa waking him up and making him focus on the title.
I think that it's probably going to be later on because they have a history.
Sure.
I think next week...
Oh, I guess they do have a history, huh?
Yeah.
Next week he'll defend against the other people that were in the match that didn't get to be in Gift of the Gods. How it was like, oh, well, like, now it's a tag match. And
right.
Now you three lost, so now you're out. So maybe one of them.
Right. Or maybe it could be Mill. It could be maybe Mill finally getting his shot at the belt.
I think that's so soon, though.
It's very soon, yeah.
I don't know.
So we'll see. I don't know. There's not really a lot of, like, disposable talent. I mean, maybe Big Bad Steve, but, like...
Sammy Guevara.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, there really is
the straw man.
What about, I never remember his name on the show.
Maybe it will be Jake Strong.
What's his name on the show?
Who?
Sunny? Kiss?
Oh, Exolicious.
Exolicious
would be pretty incredible.
Oh, I need more.
He's in the snake tribe.
I'd love to see that.
He fits their color scheme perfectly.
Pink?
Does he?
He wears, like, the neon crazy colors.
Oh, the
colors.
Green and the blues.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Well, I think he's more of a one-man band.
Yeah.
yeah. Do you think Vibora's head grows back?
No.
No, I think he's donezo. I think
really?
I think he's Deadsville.
Grown his head back.
You do? When?
I don't know, but I think he's going to grow his head back.
If that is the case, I don't think we'll see it until, like, the end of Ultima Lucha.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, like he saves?
Maybe.
He's out for the count.
Yeah, so we'll see. Let us know what you think about reappearing heads and reptiles and snakes. And tell us if you hate snakes. But that's it for this week. We'll be back here, same time, same channel, next week, talking the next episode of Lucha Underground. Until then, guys, where can they find you?
Oh, we didn't do our special segment of Have You Ever Killed a Snake?
Yes! I've killed many snakes.
Rachel is yes. That's a yes because Rachel's from Texas.
Yeah! I used to do donuts on rattlesnakes' heads.
That's a big no for me. Jimbo, where can they find you?
Find me on Twitter at Jimbo in the Booth.
And have you ever killed any snakes?
I don't believe so. I've seen a snake killed, but I didn't kill it.
You didn't kill it yourself.
How did
Rachel,
I kill it?
Rachel, where can they find
you? I'll ask you later. Twitter and Instagram at Rachel Sam Evans or Rachel Sam Vans. It depends on how your brain works, and I've killed many a snake. And I used to own snakes, too, so I like them as well.
Oh, that's cool.
You have to kill rattlesnakes or else they'll kill your dogs.
It's nothing personal about snakes. My name is Ty Matthews. You guys can find me on all forms of social media at Ty Matthews PMA. You can catch me on Saturdays, Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. Check out the Lucha Underground YouTube channel to find my Gamma Ray TV panel with some of the stars of Lucha Underground. It's very, very cool stuff. Very awesome stuff. And I think that's it, guys. But until next week, Viva la Lucha!
Viva la Lucha!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.